This morning, I just ask with all my heart that you would just move on each one of us, that Father, no one would miss out this morning, but that Lord, you'd speak to each one of us. Lord, as we've given this time, as we've come, Lord, we just want to honour you. Lord, we want to delight in you. We want to open our hearts to you. Lord, we want to be teachable. We want to be responsive. We want to be open. We want our hearts to be soft, Lord. Father, we don't want to miss out. We know you've got something for us. Lord, every day you have something for us. Lord, every day you have new manna for us. Every day you have something that you want to pour in that's timely and right for us. And Lord, today as we come and just set our mind upon you and just give you the priority of our thoughts and our focus at this moment, Lord, my heart is, Lord, that you would just speak to each one, that you'd have something for each one of us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord. Thank you for the children that are in the creche and the children that are in the kids' church, Lord, as they just things are shared with them and as they just come together, Lord, may you just really speak to them and, Lord, strengthen them and build them and, Lord, help them continue on their journey of faith. But, Lord, for each one of us too, Lord, let your word just resonate. Let your Holy Spirit take your word and let it be relevant and powerful to our life. But even more, Lord, as we just take time to let our hearts be set towards you, Lord, as our posture is, Lord, to be towards you, to honour you and to love you. Lord, just help to clear our thinking. Help to, Lord, where there is peace needed, Lord, pour in your peace. Lord, where there is wisdom needed, Lord, you say that you will give wisdom where we will call on you and be open to your wisdom. Lord, you will lead us. You'll show us, Lord, in the situations that we face, Lord, whatever that might be. Lord, you will give us wisdom. You'll show us which way to go. Lord, where our hearts may have become a little hard or we're hurt, Lord, in some way and we're protecting ourselves, Lord, just let us, Lord, sense your healing balm today. Let us just sense your love poured out. Let us just sense, Lord, your grace upon us, Father, that, Lord, we won't miss out because our hearts will just be, Lord, be soft and open to you, Father. Lord, where there's physical healing needed, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the promises of your word. And Lord, I just declare physical healing, Lord, for any who need a touch from you today. Lord, for us, for our families. Lord, for people who are in our minds who we know just need a healing touch today. Lord, I pray that, Father, you would release healing. That's your word, Lord. We trust your word. Lord, that's your heart, and we trust your heart, Lord. So bring healing, Father, where healing is needed today. Lord, where there's provision needed, Father, we know, Lord, that you're able to provide. You're able to give us, Lord, the right thoughts and ideas and decisions, Father, to make provision. But also, Lord, you're able to release provision in different ways for us. Lord, as we trust you and rest in you, Lord, you're able to lead us forward in whatever practical area in our life. Lord, we need you to come and to be with us. Lord, we can find solutions in our life in all sorts of places, but we know that every answer, Lord, is found in you. Lord, you use others, but Lord, every answer is found in you. So Lord, meet us today, Lord, in a special and significant way. Lord, whatever the need, Father, we pray that you would just minister to us. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you this morning, Lord. We delight in you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we're sorry for the times that we just do it ourselves and we go in our own strength. We're sorry for the times that we forget you and we get burdened by all that goes on around us. But Lord, we know you've already forgiven. You've already provided a way, but we come to you, Lord, and we just acknowledge our need of you today. We can trust you, Lord. We're safe with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks, team. Appreciate worship this morning. How's everyone? Okay? Couple of things to let you know. In 2 weeks' time, Easter weekend, it's all coming pretty quick, isn't it? But Easter weekend's always a lovely weekend for family, I find anyway, family or other things that we get to do. The town comes alive a bit, doesn't it, with different things that are happening around the town. It's good to see that happen. If you like old cars, then it's always a bonus, isn't it, to have a look at those around town as well. But it's also obviously a really special time in terms of our faith and our spiritual journey. We know it's relevant to us every day, isn't it? Jesus' death and resurrection is relevant to us every day. But it's great to come, I think, to the Easter weekend. I find it really a special time just to focus and just to be reminded and just to be freshly impacted by what Jesus has done for us. But he's not only done it for us, he's done it for our whole world, hasn't he? And so it is good to know that we can look for opportunities and even just be praying for opportunities for the message of the gospel to go out and to touch hearts. It's often on the telly and it's often on the radio or in different places. There's a lot of opposite stuff too, but the gospel does go out at Easter time. Many people who maybe don't normally go to churches might turn up at a service. So I just ask you, just really pray for our community and pray for that season, this season over Easter, that just hearts will be really impacted and touched with the message of the gospel, and that our hearts obviously will be touched in a fresh way as well. We will just have one service on the weekend. We find people are just busy and whatever with family and other things that are good things, and so we don't overload the weekend. But so Sunday morning, resurrection morning, it's always great to come together, and so we'll have a service on Sunday morning here at the normal time of 10 o'clock. One of the things that happens with our combined churches in town here is a sunrise Easter service. They've obviously made the adjustments. I think it's daylight savings changes that morning as well. So you get an extra hour. Is that right? It's my favourite one. And at 6:10 a.m. they've worked out will be the time when it'll be beautiful up the top of Pine Hill. So you basically just head out past Matheson Oval and straight up Pine Hill Road, and right at the top on the left. So right at the top of Pine Hill Road on the left, and people just meet there, and the sun rises over the hill, and just take a time, usually about half an hour, maybe slightly more, just to gather as a church community and have our sunrise Easter service. So I get there most times, and you just take your own chair, folding chair up there if you can, and there's complimentary breakfast after if you want to stay on, but that's up to you. But it is a nice time. There's some brochures at the back. Just grab one of those if you need to get the details for that. So that's our Easter weekend and a couple of things that are on over Easter. One of the things we often encourage people to do, because we don't have a Good Friday service, it just seems to be the way it's worked over the years, and we just say our other churches in town have a Good Friday service, many of them, and might be a great opportunity just to go and fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Certainly that Sunday morning is an opportunity for that, but if you want to, you know, that can be a great thing too, just to go and join in on a Good Friday service as well. Alrighty. And our conference is coming up, our CRC State Conference. I won't take too long to talk about it because we've talked about it the last few weeks. But we are hosting it here. We were going to host it last year. We weren't able to do that, so we just brought it forward to this year, and we're hosting that. We have Krista and Sean Smith from the United States who are our speakers for a couple of the sessions. They're not able to be here, obviously, this time, and so we've asked them just to record a couple of sessions for us. And then we have a guest guy called David Hall, leads a really flourishing church in Adelaide. And he's going to be Life Point Church in Adelaide. He's going to be here with us for three sessions, particularly our two night sessions. So there's some brochures there, little brochures like that, if you want to grab all the details, because I'm sort of downloading a fair bit on you right now. But it's the 14th to the 16th of April, Wednesday afternoon through till Friday lunchtime. You're welcome to come and be part of it. We want to be good hosts, so we'd love any who are available to come and help us with that as well. And in the lead up, there's just a few things that need to be done as well in preparation, so have a chat to us if you'd like to help in some way. But that will be on 14th to the 16th, and the two nights, if you can't get here for the daytime, the two night sessions will be open, and our guest speaker David Hall from Adelaide will be speaking, and I know you'll really enjoy him. He'll be doing the night sessions at 7 p.m. on the Wednesday night and the Thursday night, so that's the 14th and the 15th of April, alright, second week of the school holidays is a way to remember that as well. So a little brochure there just to grab at the back with the basic details on it. Make sure you grab that. Hey, last week we also just each week with our prayer series that we've been doing, we've just tried to have some practical application, something that, you know, will help to facilitate putting into practice the things that we've been learning. Who's been enjoying the series? Have you been enjoying it? Been really good. A lot of hands up, and a lot of people have just been saying to me, really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it as well, and just really loving it week by week. The building on the different aspects of prayer, or the different expressions of prayer. It's been really excellent. And each time we've tried to give you something practical from the stick-it notes, you know, that you just put around, just to help in a practical way. Just to build an awareness of God's presence with us every day. It's just a really practical thing, but a really helpful thing. And then last week we introduced to you, but didn't give you a lot of detail, about a retreat day. And so we were talking about contemplatory prayer. And so there's just one retreat day in June. Now, we were going to book a couple of days and thought we're not sure how many people will want to, you know, or be able to participate in the day. So if you're able to just book in, if we get too many, then what we'll do is we'll set a second date and we'll just offer that as a second opportunity as well, if people would like to do that. But if you're, so the date is the Saturday the 22nd of May from 9 to 5pm. There's a nice place at Junee where we've got booked to just go and spend the day, and we'll do a little bit of time together, and then you have opportunity just to be able to have some time sort of on your own, reflective time and some contemplative time to put into practice some of the principles of contemplative prayer, just being quiet with God and whatever. And so you know, I think it'll be a really excellent time if you're able to make it. So there's some brochures again on the back table that look like that, and they've got a link to where you can actually book in and cover that. So there'll be morning tea, afternoon tea and lunch we'll have together, and there'll be time that we'll learn a bit together, and then also some time that we get just to spend on our own, which can be hard to find, can't it? In your normal daily life, you think, oh, I'm going to set some time aside, but it can be hard just to have time, you know, of just silence and reflection and whatever. And it'd be really good just to, if you're able to come along to that. If that date doesn't suit you, then please just flick a text through or something, let us know. Or if we end up with too many for that day, we'll have another day as well, and we'll offer an alternative date for people, okay? So that's that retreat day. But at the moment, that day is set for the 22nd of May, from 9 till 5, out at a beautiful spot in Junee. Alrighty, sing out if you need any more information on that. I'll be happy to help you. We're up to week 7 of our 8-week series on prayer. Again, I've really enjoyed it. We've talked about why pray. We've talked about prayer of adoration, prayer of petition, prayer of intercession. We've talked about contemplatory prayer. I think somewhere in the middle of that we talked about unanswered prayer. Probably technically we'd say no prayer is really unanswered, is it? You know, because sometimes we get the answer no, sometimes we have to wait, sometimes we just have to work through things at times. It's just the way it is, and often God knows more than we, well, always God knows more than we do, but sometimes we don't understand why we have to wait, why things don't happen the way we would like. But I'm glad sometimes that God does what He wants and not what I want. Is that right? Because I don't always trust what I want. You know, I don't think I kind of go to try and sabotage my life too much, but I don't always trust my decisions. I don't always trust my perspective on things. I don't always trust, you know, my wisdom. And in fact, the less I trust my wisdom and the more I trust His wisdom, the more I find life works for me. Anyone else can say that as well? And it's not always easy. Like, that sounded really simple. Just a couple of sentences just flowed out of my mouth very easily. I know it's not always that simple in practice, is it? And so hopefully today we can actually just help with that a little bit, perhaps. And then, because we're going to talk about listening prayer today. And I just want to very briefly introduce the idea that every one of us can hear from God. And we'll just talk about that through the week. The Connect Group study that you're going to do has some really practical things in there too, ways that you can begin to or continue to or increase your ability and capacity to be able to hear from God. But I believe every one of us are purposed and designed to be able to commune with God, yes, talk with God, yes, but also listen to what He has to say. And I think that can be in two contexts. It can be in the context where we set time aside and we sit quietly, and as we deliberately, position ourselves or take a posture of listening, then we can hear from God in that way, in those moments. When we come to church, often when I'm here in the worship, I'm just really wanting to enter in and to enjoy the worship, because it's often in those times that I feel like God, through a song or through something that's spoken by somebody, through the verse that was read, I feel like oftentimes He just speaks to me. He triggers a thought. Sometimes it's exactly what's been read, and sometimes it's a flow on, from what's been read. It might not even be entirely connected to that, but it sort of sparks or triggers a thought, and I feel like, yes, Lord, I know You're speaking to me in that. And it happens in different ways, and it happens to different people in different ways. I think we're all a little different in the way that we hear from God. And so you might think, well, that person always seems to hear from God in an easy way, and how come I don't hear in that same way? Hey, don't ever, try to resist that line of thinking that says, well, why can't I be like them? What's wrong with me? What I would encourage you to always to do is be inspired by that, maybe, or at least say, well, Lord, in the way that I can do it, the way that You'd like me to do it, I'd like to hear from You. Like, be honest with God and say, God, I know that I can hear from You, but I struggle with that. Just be really honest. God loves that. Like, don't be like, well, maybe I'm not meant to be someone that God speaks to, because that's not true. That's not true. So I guess I'm really asking you today to come to a place where you accept that God does want to speak to you and can speak to you. And ask him to show you how. Ask Him to teach you what that's like. And don't entirely be guided by how it happens for somebody else. That's what I'm trying to say. Because that can be discouraging, or that can even be a bit distorting. People, you have people that sometimes say, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this, God told me that. And look, I don't have a problem with that too much, except that oftentimes that makes us feel then, doesn't it? Like, well, how come I don't hear in that same way from God or whatever? And sometimes that's just a way that people express what they feel. It's not like they always have an audible voice, but it's just their way of expressing it. And I'd probably say to you as a practical thing, it's probably not overly helpful if you're always saying, well, God told me this and God told me that. Because in the end, like, I don't know, I guess every time I get up to preach, I'm having this sense that God's put a word on my heart and that I'm speaking what He told me to tell you. But I don't get up every single time and say, now guys, you've really got to listen. You've got no choice, because God's told me to tell you what I'm telling you. You know, what you have to do is you have to try and listen in amongst, what I'm saying and my own sometimes weird analogies and sometimes my perspective on things and sometimes with my biases and whatever. You kind of allow for that, but you just say, what is God saying? It's my words are not gospel, but what I share with you, I'm just saying, Lord, just let some of it, hopefully as much as possible of it through this human vessel, let it be something that You're saying to people. And one of the things I realized a long time ago is that we're all at a different place in God's agenda in our life. Is that right? You know what I mean by God's agenda for our life? We're all at a different place. And yet, I just say this. I say, Lord, Your word is amazing. I know, Lord, that as I get up and share a word today, I know that You can speak to every person where they're at. Now, I can't do that, but You can do that. So, Lord, as I speak today, You know what people need to hear. You try to make something relevant to every single person. See, I can't do that. But I don't stand up, today I am, but I don't stand up and say, well, today I've just got what God's got for me. What I'm going to say is going to be what God says to you. Now, sometimes I do emphasize that a little bit. There are times when during the message I sense that there's something that I just feel strongly is for someone or is, for us, and it's really right for today. So I might emphasize that a little bit by just saying, guys, I just really want you to listen, Stella, wake up. I just picked on Stella because she's right in front of me. But just wake up for this moment, and just because this is really, I just kind of feel like this is really. So sometimes I'll say that, but I don't always go on and say everything I say and everything I do is what God has told me to do and say, and so you can't question it. And so, that's a bit intense, isn't it? So I guess don't become a person that always says, God told me, God told me, God told me, God showed me, God led me, whatever. But yet, I'd say, be a person that lives with that sense that, what I say, God's given me to say. What I do, God's given me to do. And so there's that sense. Is that all right to say that? You're right? Who's with me? Everyone okay? Cool. All right. Some are. So I want to just turn to, first thing I want to do today is just show how this happened in the life of Jesus. And really, I say a lot of favorite verses, but this really is one. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It's just an amazingly inspiring verse. And particularly when we think about how Jesus said a few things about us. He says, you know, we're, as the church, are the body of Christ, and we're all members of the body of Christ. So when we look at what Jesus did, when we think of that in the context that we have been called to continue what he did, and in fact, in one place he says, these things and greater will you do because I go to my Father. And in that same context he said, because I go to my Father and I send my Spirit to you, you know, he said, these things and greater will you do because I go to my Father. When he says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Well, when I read about what Jesus did, then it's quite okay to take that and say, well, this is what I can do too. How Jesus ministered is how I can minister. How Jesus walked around and lived his life, I can do too. All right? Now, not because of me, but because his Spirit is in me. So this verse kind of is pretty exciting in that context. Acts 10 verse 38 just says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now a couple of things, like when it says doing good, well it's really saying doing God's work. You know, good works in the Bible is not just about going around and doing nice things. But good works in the Bible is doing the works of God. So it's doing what God has given to us. So when we're doing good works, we're not just doing, like, you know, social works, as it were. That's part of it, but really we're doing that because it's God's work. So we're doing God's work. So when it says he went around doing good, it's saying that he went around doing the Father's work, doing God's work. And then it says he went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now it wasn't just, that's not just talking about, well, he went around doing good things, nice things, and he went around healing all who were sick, because healing from the oppression of the devil is really so broad, isn't it? Like the enemy robs from people in so many ways. And so he went around healing people or releasing people or setting people free from what the enemy, what the devil was trying to do in people's life. So it wasn't just casting out demons and healing people supernaturally from sick things, from sickness, but it was all that he was doing. That was part of it. But he went around just basically looking, where's the enemy holding people back? Where is the enemy robbing from people's lives? Where is the enemy stealing from people? And he went around just doing the Father's work and setting people free from everything the enemy was doing to try and rob people from God's best, the Father's best in their life. Now when I think about that, I just think, he went about, he was anointed. That really talks about having the authority and the empowerment. So he was authorized and he was empowered to go and do it. It says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He was given authority and enabling. And he just went about doing good. You know, I just so often do this. I think, Lord, I just want to be a went about. I just want to be going about what you've given me to do. And I just picture Jesus, not so much literally like on the street and what he's doing, but I just have this sense of him just wherever he went, he just went saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? Where is there opportunity to just bring your life and to bring your light into somebody's life, into a situation? And when you read through the Gospels, that's just what you see, don't you? It was like he was just going around. He was just going around looking at whatever opportunities were there for him to bring the life and the light of the Father into that situation. And I would just encourage you today, I would just really encourage you, like my heart is just so wanting to compel you to begin to picture yourself that way. And if it's hard, that's okay. Just say, Lord, I want to begin to picture myself this way. This is really hard for me. You know, it's against maybe things I've learned. Maybe it's against, you know, just how I feel about myself. That's probably the big one, isn't it? Because most of you, you know, this is not too contrary to what you know is true, but it's just sometimes not what you feel. Isn't that right? And so what I want you to do is I want you to say, Lord, I don't always feel it, but I'm believing this is true, that actually you've called me, you've purposed me. It's your plan that I'll just go around, you know, anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. Just go around. See what needs to happen. See what needs are in people's lives. See how I can influence the environment that I'm in. If I'm in a meeting, if I'm in a workplace, if I'm in a school classroom, if I'm in the playground, if I'm in a social meeting, if I'm at a sporting activity, if I'm at dinner at a restaurant, I could just go on and on and on, couldn't I? Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, just begin to say, Lord, when I'm in that place, I'm just there. I'm just representing you. Like the Bible uses all sorts of terms, being an ambassador for Christ. It uses terms about, you know, being his body in our community and all sorts of things. But if we just begin to, when we think about Acts 10:38, he anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, he anointed Ash of Merom. Is that right? Interestingly, I think that when it says Jesus of Nazareth, I think it's kind of making us realize that this is not Jesus of heaven. Because Jesus, when he was a man, doing the ministry that he was doing, and we'll see this a little bit in a couple of verses I'm going to look at in a second about Jesus, that he was divine. He was God. Particularly in Philippians 2, at the beginning of Philippians 2, we find where it says that he actually put off his deity. He had every right to be like God. It says he would not have been a robber. This is in Philippians 2. He would not have been a robber if he called himself God. He would not have been a robber if he said that everything about God was true about him. But what it says then is it says he chose deliberately to make himself a servant, to put off his right to be as God, and he actually came as a man. And so when we look at Jesus, let's not just say, like, it's good to say, yeah, well, it's Jesus. But let's not say, well, that's Jesus. I could never do that. Because what we're meant to do is we're meant to look at Jesus and say, well, that is Jesus showing us how to fill with the Holy Spirit and in relationship with the Father, live a life that brings the love and the life of the Father to the community where he's placed me. That's really what it's about. Now, he had a specific mission, and that was to ultimately to die on the cross for you and for me. And so that was the plan. But he came also to demonstrate what it was like to live as a Spirit-filled follower of the Father, surrendered to the Father's will and purpose. And so when it says Jesus of Nazareth, I think it's trying to say, this is Jesus the man. Jesus the man, filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good. He was the one who was healing all the oppressed. I don't know about you. Lord, I just want to be wherever I go, Lord, I just want you to help me to set people free. People are so bound. People are, you know, sometimes I need to be set free. And so I'm just so relieved and glad when I can come to Jesus and find freedom and peace and find answers and find hope. You know, like when the day is really heavy and horrible, that I can actually think that, well, you know, I know that God's with me in this. I'm not in this alone. And so that gives me hope to know that tomorrow will be a better day. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? We're not perfect, are we? We don't live every day perfectly smoothly. We face problems and challenges. But the difference is, the Bible says this. It says, you're not as those who are without hope. And that's not an arrogant statement. That's not a, like, you're better than them statement. It's definitely not. In fact, it's actually you know, you've only got God to thank because you've got hope. You're not like those who are without hope. But what that challenges you to do is to say, I just want everyone in the world, everyone that I see, everyone in the community, all the kids at school when I'm there doing scripture, everybody that I see struggling, you know, in different ways around the community, I don't want to just feel sorry for them. I don't want to just say, well, this is so overwhelming. Sometimes I do. I say, Lord, this is so overwhelming. You've got to let me see through your eyes. I need to know that there is hope for these people. And I kind of come back to the fact that, well, Jesus went around and he just made a difference wherever he went. And I say, Lord, just, it's not about me. It's not about me, but Lord, let me make a difference wherever I go. When I get into a meeting and people are so negative, you know, I know I keep talking about meetings, don't I? Because I find myself in different community meetings and other things, and I think, man, people see things so differently to me. But I don't, I really deliberately, honestly, don't want to be there and be arrogant about it. I just want to be there and say, Lord, just let me say the right thing at the right time. Let me help steer this a little way. Let me just bring a perspective, you know. It's not always about preaching the gospel, but sometimes it's just being positive, isn't it, in a certain environment. Who knows what I'm talking about? You find yourself in settings, don't you? In workplaces and in workplace staff rooms, if you work in a large workplace. I've been in a few of those. Or just, you know, work sites, and just I can think of all the different settings. You find yourself in places and you think, why do people see things so negatively? Why do people see things, you know, without hope? Why are people so critical? Why are people so mean? Why are people so... Is this all right? I'm getting a bit carried away, but I just think, like, sometimes it's like that. And I think, oh, it's so different to the way I'm seeing it. Well, we can be overwhelmed by that, or we can say, hey, you know what? Jesus went about, he saw all that, and he was perfect, but he saw it, and he just made a difference where they let him make a difference. And even Jesus found in some settings that people weren't responsive, and so he couldn't make a difference. Isn't that a relief? You know, pretty well every story you read, people were healed amazingly and risen from the dead. So there is incredible stuff that happened. Jesus didn't fail, but sometimes he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do because the people were not receptive to him. Talks about, you know, in his own community, and talks about the rich man that came, and he challenged the rich man, and he turned around and he went away. And so, you know, again, they're encouraging stories because it means that it's up to the person. We don't win with every person. Every person's life is not our responsibility. We'd be so overwhelmed. But our responsibility, or our challenge, or our privilege is probably the better word, is to just go around doing good. Doing what God has given us to do. Now look, all of this, you think, what's this to do with listening prayer? Well, all of this is to do, how are we going to do what God has given us to do? How are we going to walk around that way if we're not listening and if we can't hear? If we're not listening to God and we can't hear, if that's what we're meant to be doing, then we need to be able to listen, don't we? We need to be able to hear God's voice. Is that right? So let's quickly get into a few verses. I've kind of given most of what I wanted to get across to you. So now I'll just lead you through a few quick verses. And we'll have communion and finish up for the morning. So remember Acts 10:38. Just say that back to me, Acts 10:38. Oh, it would be a great verse to remember. Honestly, it's a really great verse. Write it out, do something with it, because it's you, it's a picture of you and what God wants you to be able to do by His Holy Spirit, not in your own strength. If you start this in your own strength, you're doomed at day one. But if you just say, Holy Spirit, fill me with power. Lead me. Let me learn to hear the voice of the Father so I can be guided by Him in this thing. All right, John 5. So I'm going to give you a few. I kind of went to one gospel, and it's probably the best one that portrays this a bit. I just want us to see a few verses that talk about how Jesus was saying to people, he says, what I do, I see the Father do. And I've often said this in a sermon. I say, oh, you know, Jesus went about what he saw the Father do. But I've not often looked up these verses. So, Beery, will you look up John 5:19 to 21? Is that all right? Stella, are you happy to read out loud? So can you look up John 8:25 to 32? Now, if anyone's writing them down, I'll go back through them again. But John 8:25 to 32, Stella. John 12:49 to 50. Rach, can you do that for me? Or are you? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I wasn't trying to pick on anyone particularly. I just kind of glanced across and knew that Rach would be confident to read it out for me. So John 12:49 and 50. Rach, not too big a one there. And John 14:7 to 11. Drapes, you're always keen. Okay. So John 14:7 to 11. Now I'll just run through them again. John 5:19 to 21, John 8:25 to 32, John 12:49 to 50, John 14:7 to 11. All right? And these just talk about Jesus giving us some clues about how he went about doing what he did and how we can do the same. All right? So, Beery, thanks. John 5:19 to 21. So again, we won't unpack it. It's not the main focus of the message, but just for us to see that Jesus himself said, of my own self I can do nothing. When I used to have my office in that door over there next to Zach, I remember I had up on the wall this kind of printed out page, and it said, I can of my own self do nothing. It sat there in front of the desk, and it just said, of my own self I can do nothing. And then it had, but I'm not of my own self. So in other words, I can do nothing of myself, but I'm not of myself because I have the Holy Spirit, and that was the idea of it. But of my own self, I can do nothing. And so Jesus himself said that. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. But what I did say there about what the Father, I hear what the Father says or whatever, I'm not sure. But anyway, John 8, 25 to 32. Thanks, Stella. Had to put them in. So again, you get the picture, don't you? And when he says, when you lift up the Son of Man, he was talking about, not like we think sometimes, lift him up as in praise him, but it's actually when he gets lifted up on the cross. When he gets lifted on the cross, you will know who he is. When he's lifted up, you will know who he is, and that he was of the Father. Okay, and he was really saying what the Father had taught him. That's what he says. That's what he speaks, what the Father shows him. All right, John 12, 49 and 50. Thanks. We're really hearing it, aren't we? Jesus, when he's living his life, going around doing what he's doing, he's really relying heavily on the Father speaking to him, showing him what to do. He's hearing the voice of the Father. And John 14, 7 to 11. Thanks, Ian. Well done, everyone. Good reading. So again, probably doesn't need a lot of explanation, does it? It just it builds on what we see about Jesus hearing from the Father. Now, I want to just go to one other scripture. The time's nearly up. So Psalm 119. I was going to say to you, it's verse 176, and I was going to say to you, if I'm going to give you verse 176, what chapter of the Bible is that going to be in? And you'd all say Psalm 119, wouldn't you? Because there's not too many with 176 verses. All right, so Psalm 119, verse 176. It's a bit of an obscure verse, but I feel like it's where I want to land this morning. So Psalm 119, verse 176. It says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The CEV version. We did a scripture seminar yesterday, so we were looking at a few things from the CEV version, and so my phone was still on the CEV. And when I looked this verse up again to share it with you, I thought, I wonder what the CEV says. And this is what it says, the Contemporary English Version. I am your servant, but I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Please come after me, because I have not forgotten your teachings. I just found that verse really interesting. You know, when I'm thinking about Jesus going around doing good, when I'm thinking about Jesus saying, just what I hear the Father say, that's what I do, what I, you know, just I don't do anything without the Father, you know, guiding me and leading me. Again, I'm not picturing Jesus in some intense thing where he's always got his ear to heaven and he can hardly walk because he's got his head sideways. Like when you read the Gospels, you kind of pick up, it's fairly natural. It's something that's become quite natural for him to just live his life with his, attuned to the voice of the Father. Listening to the voice of the Father. And I had a few verses, but I don't have time for them this morning, about the shepherd, the good shepherd. Matthew 10 and John 10 both talk a bit about being the shepherd, the good shepherd. And so one of them talks about, I send you out as sheep in the midst of the wolves, and so therefore be wise and harmless. And then he talks about listening. And being sent and listening, being sent as sheep. And then another one he talks about in John 10, it talks about the true shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name, and he leads them out, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They're just a few statements I wrote down. Again, beautiful picture, aren't they, of listening to the voice of the Father. It talks about the sheep know his voice, the sheep follow because they hear his voice. He leads them by his voice. And so, just like Jesus said, what I do, what I hear the Father say, that's what I do. We are really like sheep of the good shepherd who get to learn his voice. And so here in Psalm 119, 176, it's interesting. He calls himself a lost sheep. Now, when I think of a lost sheep, you know, in the Bible, I think, well, that's someone who's really given up their faith and they've wandered away. But you know, he also says about himself, he says, I'm your servant. And I just wrote down here, I said, when he calls him, I'm your servant. So in some ways, his heart was still very much wanting to serve, wasn't it? His heart was wanting to serve the Lord. Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. So in a sense, his heart was still postured in a good way. He says, please come after me. To me, that just tells me about his will. I just put will in brackets. Like his will is still to do what the Father wants him to do. He's become a lost sheep, but he's still a servant, considers himself a servant. He's still calling out because his will is to do, you know, to go where the sheep, where the shepherd wants him to go, etc. And then he says, I've not forgotten your teachings. And he's not just talking about like, I've memorized them, but he's saying, you know, they're still dear to me. Your teachings are still dear to me. I still love your teachings. In fact, all of Psalm 119 really is a great expression of the psalmist saying, you know, your word has done this for me. Your word has helped me this way. You know, your word has may had this impact upon my life. And so right through Psalm 119, it's really honoring the word and affirming the word and affirming the place of the word in affecting and impacting the psalmist's life. And so here he is calling himself a lost sheep, and yet he's still got a heart of a servant. He's still got a will that wants to be, you know, wants to hear the voice of the shepherd. He's still got a mind, you know, in his mind or in his heart, he still has a place for the teachings and for what God wants for his life, what the shepherd wants for his life. And I think the thing that he's saying is, I've stopped listening and I've stopped following. I've wandered because I've stopped listening and I've stopped following. And you know, I guess I wanted to finish with this verse and as we come to communion, because I want us to say, you know, we may be in a place where our heart is to serve. We may think, yes, I'm still a servant of the living God. I'm still a follower in that sense. We may say, you know, I love his word and I trust his word and I believe in his word. We're not lost sheep in the sense that we've wandered away from faith or that we've wandered away from any kind of relationship entirely. But we might be like this verse suggests, that we can be a lost sheep when we stop listening and following the voice of the Father. Where we're not giving absolute priority to the voice of the Father in our life. You know, it could be because we've been at the journey for a long time and we're kind of on automatic pilot, and so we're just kind of doing what we've always done. We could be because we've been hurt in some way, and so then what happens is we've stopped trusting entirely, and so therefore we still respect God, we still love God, we wish that he would come and speak to us again, but somehow we've stopped listening and following. And you know, this prayer course has been brilliant, I think, in just taking steps in helping us to see the different aspects of prayer. You know, if I had to pick a favorite, when we did the men's group last week, I said, out of the ones that we've looked at so far, which one kind of really resonates with you? You know, like they're all important. You know, prayer of adoration is like when we just talk with God and tell him how much we love him, and what we love about him is an aspect of praise in that too, where we're just really adoring him and taking time with him, and we're probably expressing our love to him. Petition, well, we know that one very commonly. It's asking for things and, you know, coming and reminding God of his promises and saying, Lord, I'm asking you for this. Intercession is, we've talked about that quite a bit, but where we fight for others and where God puts something on our heart and we carry the burden of wanting to fight for our city or fight for someone we know. Contemplation, though, I really love that one. I really love that idea of just taking time. You know, I said to the guys when we were sharing on Tuesday night, I said, you know, probably one of the things that I've been really encouraged by thinking about the prayer of contemplation, not that it's new, it's probably not new to any of you, but to hear it explained a little bit and to think about it and revisit it, was that sometimes I think if I just sit with God and don't do anything, don't say anything, you know, then I'm feeling like I'm being a bit lazy in my prayer. But you know, he wants us to, at times, like I don't want to always be contemplating, but I do want to make sure I have those times where I just contemplate, where I just get to be aware of him there with me, where I'm mindful of him journeying with me, walking with me, so that I'm not there necessarily specifically to ask him for anything or even for him to say anything to me. But what I'm there for is just to be with him, just to be in his presence. You know, we find that in relationships, don't we? Different levels of relationship where we might deliberately meet with certain people and we have an agenda and we meet with those people and that's the agenda and we get the business done and that's it. They're important times to meet with people, but the relationship is at a certain level where you can go right through all the different levels of relationship to where, you know, relationship with husband and wife is where we're not always got an agenda, we're not always talking about stuff, but sometimes we just enjoy being there together. If Sam goes away for a few days, or even if she goes uptown or does a trip to Wagga, I know I'm there and I'm just thinking, oh, it'd be nice when she gets home. And then when she gets home, I don't particularly want to talk about anything. I don't particularly want to do anything. But it's just nice. She's home now and she's there just busily doing what she's doing around the house. Do you get what I mean? And it's just like just being there. It's just being there. And can we do that? Like where we, with God, we just think, well, I don't want to ask you for anything and I'm not even really wanting you to speak to me necessarily, but I'm just enjoying being with you. I'm just enjoying hanging out with you. And learning to do that is a beautiful thing. And they're all stepping stones, aren't they? The asking, the adoration, the intercession, the fighting, the just spending time and hanging out together. They're all part of what helps and equips us for this one that I'm talking about today. And that is just doing what we do. And God can speak into our situation anytime because we learn to recognize His voice. A couple of practical things just to finish. And if the stewards would like to come and just begin to take the emblems around for us, that'd be good. And the musicians, perhaps if you come up and just be ready to, that'd be great. And please not trying to get too distracted. I just want to share these couple of practical things with you. Getting attuned to the voice of God. You know, I try to think of what's a really practical way to express this, but and this is just one way I thought to. Many of you who've been around here for a while will remember Mr. and Mrs. Zach. Who remembers Mr. and Mrs. Zach? They're a Polish couple that were part of our church, and I honour them to this day. They've both passed away. They were founding members of this church back in 69. They were there in the beginning when our church was started, and so they're just a beautiful couple that we honour very much. And Mrs. Zach, she was very involved in our bookshop and many things, and her English was pretty good, but Mr. Zach's English was not very clear to understand. He was a beautiful, intelligent man, worked for years on the railway, and was a very industrious man, had done quite well, built his own house. He was a very handy guy, used to come and do a lot of things here for us, and he was just a good guy. But people found it really difficult to speak with him sometimes because his Polish accent was so strong that to have a conversation, you know how you feel a bit embarrassed if you don't understand and then you've got to ask a few times for someone to, sorry, what was that again, what was that again? And so some people I know found it very awkward to converse because the accent was so strong. But I found like after visiting him lots of times and trying to be deliberate to talk with him on a Sunday at the end of the service and whatever, that actually my ear, now I don't know if there's any science to this, but my ear became attuned to his accent, and I found like I could talk to him quite easily because I just put it into practice. I just would spend time talking with him and listening to him. I'd visit him at his house and I'd hear him speaking and telling his stories, and I got through the stage where I had to say either nod and hope I was nodding for something good, or where I was, you know, where I would say, can you just say that for the fourth time? I'm really sorry. And he'd say it to me again. But I got used to that, and my ear attuned to his accent. And I don't know if it's a crazy illustration or even if it's really scientifically proven, but in my experience, that's what it's a little bit like, hearing the voice of God. He is speaking and His voice is there. But sometimes we have to learn how to recognize it. Sometimes we have to learn how to recognize it just in our hearts, because He doesn't speak in the same way as Mr. Zach spoke with an audible voice. Although, you know, some people have experienced that. It's not the most common way. He often speaks with a thought into your heart or into your mind. He often speaks when someone else is saying something and yet it resonates louder than every other word they said because you feel like that was just God speaking through that person. It could be a sermon and that one moment where you wake up and actually hear that sentence that was really profound for the day and it just spoke to you and you just thought, you know, that wasn't Trevor, that was just God speaking to me for the moment. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And so you learn to just recognize. And sometimes you have to go through the thing, was that God or wasn't it? And you have to sort of filter it through a few things. Some helpful filters, I've shared a little bit of this with you before, but some helpful filters are, you know, which I find really helpful is it consistent with God's word and character? Is what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling like He's wanting me to do consistent with God's word and character? Now again, that can sometimes also not be overly clear, but sometimes that can make it really clear and you can eliminate, that's not God. Straight away you can say, that's not God, because I know that's not right. Because it's just not consistent with the heart and the character of the person. And so, I'll just be saying that. And you say it sort of deliberately to begin with, but after a while it becomes something that you just kind of do almost organically or more naturally. You know, is that consistent with God's word or character? Would God want me to do that? Would God lead me into that? Is that what God would want? And you kind of get to recognize that. That's not a bad starting point. The other thing, does it edify or build up? The people that are involved in what I'm saying or what I'm doing, am I building people up and edifying people? Is it an expression of love? And remember, love is not about our emotions, but it's seeking another's highest good. Is this motivated by love? Because primarily these are the gifts of the Spirit which function in the context of love. And so I ask myself, is this edifying? Is this an expression of love? And then the third one, which can maybe be the hardest, but sometimes is the easiest because you can really quickly identify it's not a good thing, is my motivation, is my heart right? Is this about me wanting to get some notoriety? Is this about me wanting to prove my ministry? Is this about me wanting to be somebody? Is this about my need to be needed or whatever? Or is it just me allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through me and be honoured in what I say, what I do? And there are probably a couple of starting points for you. You know, love is really the central thing, isn't it, around all of that? And so I'll leave those few things with you. But I just encourage you to Acts 10:38. I'll just read that verse where we started from the Message Bible, 37 and 38. I'm going to read the verse before it because it sort of flows together. This is from the Message, Acts 10:37, 38. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached, a total life change. Then John the Baptist is talking about. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country, helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. And God promises to be with you too. But you need to learn. We need to learn. I need to learn to hear and recognize his voice. It's not a thing just for super spiritual people. It's not a thing just for, you know, for people that are bold enough, but it's something for each of us to help us in our journey out of relationship. It comes through, I believe, the expression of all those different dimensions of prayer that we've been learning about. You know, if you haven't been able to be part of the Connect groups, I understand that it's not possible for everyone to be part of a Connect group. We can give you the link to the different videos that we've been watching through the week. They're really helpful, practical things, about 20 minutes each. Make sure you just sing out, text us or ask us, and we can just let you know how to get into some of those videos that are on through the week, and so you don't miss out, because they've been good. They've built on what we've taught on our Sunday messages, etc. And so, if you want to, then just sing out. We'd love to help you do that. But otherwise, just try and put into practice the things that we've been learning through this series. And we don't want it to like finish the series and go on to something else. I believe this is something that will just continue to grow. This heart for prayer, this desire for prayer, this understanding of prayer, this expression of prayer will continue to grow. And I believe take us into a season of revival and just God doing mighty things. But it's the body at work that will make that happen and will allow that to happen. So leave that with you. Let's just hand around. Sorry, yeah, guys, I meant you. Have we handed them around already? Oh, we've done that? Cool. I've been busy talking, did you know? Why don't we just stand together? We'll sing in a moment, but let's just stand. And we hold these emblems. They're important. Just juice and a biscuit. They're important to us, though, because they do remind us it's what we've been encouraged to do. Because it just helps us to keep fresh, a fresh awareness of what Jesus has done for us. So as you partake today, just let it be meaningful. But what I'd ask you to do is just as you partake, just come to that place where you just say to the Lord, Lord, I know that you can speak. I'm believing. I'm choosing to believe that you can speak through me. If he's been doing that for years with you, then that's fine. Just say, thank you that you speak to me and you speak through me, and Lord, I just want to learn to better hear your voice and just to be more aware of your presence day by day. Something like that. Just say it to him and just invite him to continue to help you grow as you go about, anointed by the Holy Spirit and power, doing good, doing God's work, hearing God's voice, being led where He leads you, making a difference in people's lives. Father, thank you. Just give thanks and partake.